Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. Welcome in. This is the real Gabe Anders Show. Why is everything so loud here? Okay, this is the real Gabe Anders Show. And we have a lot to get into, so we're just going to go and dive right into it here. The Padres are finally seeing dividends. Are the Dodgers just too good for baseball? Baseball playoff format. Playoffs? Playoffs? What do you know about playoffs in the MLB? The Orioles, Blue Jays, Mariners, Padres, Mets, and a whole lot of fantasy baseball disaster coming up to you here in the Real Gabe Anders Show. So let's get into it. Juan Soto hits his first home run as a San Diego Padre, officially. Applause, cheers, and all to the like, unless you're a Dodgers, Giants, Rockies, or Diamondbacks fan. At which point, I imagine you're not too happy. But congratulations, Juan Soto, for your first dinger as a Friar. And it looks like Juan Soto, Josh Bell, who had an RBI single, and Josh Hader, who might have given up three runs to San Francisco, but thanks to a walk-off home run by Manny Machado, was able to get the Padres were able to get the victory, that is. So it looks like they're finally paying dividends. And of course, Brandon Drury is somebody who's been paying dividends since the very beginning, since night one almost, showing up. So the Padres finally reaping the rewards. They had that great first night against the Rockies, but then tanked against the Rockies, lost a three-game series, swept completely by the just ridiculously good Dodgers, and showing up paying dividends. So kudos to the San Diego Padres. The Dodgers, on the other hand, are just too good for baseball. It is almost sickening and ridiculous how good the Los Angeles Dodgers are. They have Trey Turner, they have Cody Bellinger, who's on and off, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, and the pitching, just sheer ridiculousness as well. Clayton Kershaw, as well as Urias and the others there. They don't even have Trevor Bowers, right? So it's how funny time removes. We've already forgotten how soon we forget names of people who end up getting suspensions. And I think 2 years is his suspension out of baseball. But I don't know if anybody can beat the Dodgers, quite honestly. And that's insanity in the National League. I know the Braves did it last year, but it almost seems like the Dodgers are even better at times, having a better record than the New York Yankees this year. But which brings me to the next point, the playoffs in Major League Baseball. I am excited for this year. One thing that I was going to lobby strong for before I realized what the playoff format was for this year, I'd been a little out of touch with baseball. So welcome me back to the world of sports and the world of everything here. The baseball playoff format this year will be the three division winners, of course, and then three wild card spots, which is pretty dang interesting and makes for some good, I guess, parity. That's the buzzword, right, in the last year or two, parity in the league. So you're allowing in two more teams than before, which was exactly what I was going to propose, expanding it to the old NFL style of playoffs, to where the top two seeds, so top two record holders, wins and loss wise, and then a bunch of tiebreakers, I'm sure, get first round buys. And then the third division winner, so back before the NFL realignment, this is what we had. This is exactly the format we had, because we only had three divisions, East, West, Central. So prior to the introduction of the North and South divisions, which is still odd, but it's however long the Texans were in business for. So maybe 2002. I like it. I think it's great. The wild card teams, or the wild card round, which will still take the lesser dominant divisional team winner and put them in that wild card round. The higher seed will host all three games of a three-game series. I think that is much better than a one-game playoff. I think that's much better than a one-game sort of play. It almost feels just like a play-in. I don't know how many years went by where I completely forgot to watch the wild card game just simply because didn't realize it was a thing, didn't realize it was going on. And if I'm not mistaken, sometimes the teams even wear just spring training jerseys, it looks like. Not really, but just with the color combos of the uniforms, it's almost like nobody took it seriously except the team that was the underdog really trying to get in. So a la the Padres, Rockies, teams of those along those lines that you've seen try to squeak in, Mets in the past. A lot of times they end up not, and it is just the, you know, the dominant four in each league. So I think it's nice. It opens it up a lot, to a lot more, which this year can be interesting. Hey guys, Gabriel Anders here just to let you know that if you really want to help out the show and hear an extended version, make sure you're following us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and tell any of your friends who might dig what we're doing to do the same, because everybody we can get on board definitely helps, and we'll be able to get extended versions, extra versions, all sorts of extra episodes and more. But if you just go ahead and spread the word, we really need your help in doing so. And by the way, if you're in Glendale, Arizona, or in the Phoenix area in Arizona, go ahead and check out the Arizona Wrestling Federation. Summer Explosion is happening this Saturday, August the 13th at the 40 Toad in Glendale, Arizona. Tons of great matches, 9th anniversary, it's a great thing we're doing. Come having a great time with us. And of course, if you want to hear your brand advertised here, email us, realrgashow@gmail.com. Now, back to Dart Daily, because we may see that getting opened up to the Baltimore Orioles, the Blue Jays, the Seattle Mariners. So with that being said, it's very interesting to think who has the possibility or who has the ability to possibly sneak into the playoffs. And we're looking at the AFC. See, it's so much closer to the football round of playoffs that the AFC is the first thing that comes to mind. So as of right now, if the season were to end today, Seattle gets in, Toronto gets in, Baltimore does not, because Tampa's still lingering around. Tampa, the team who's been dominant in its own right in the last few years, struggling for a wild card spot. However, Baltimore, half a game back, but what makes it even crazier, Minnesota is leading their division, so they'll make it on solace alone. The Cleveland Guardians, the Chicago White Sox, who should be much better than they are, Boston Red Sox are almost out of it, and then you start getting into the Angels and the Rangers and teams like that, which don't really have too much of a chance. They can make a run, but they're beyond 10 games out. So I think if any of these teams were to have an opportunity, I think Seattle's the most well-rounded. The Toronto Blue Jays have obviously the offense for it, but the pitching doesn't always come up to speed. The Baltimore Orioles, I would have argued to put them in the race, but getting rid of Trey Mancini, that is a move that I don't quite understand. I know they got some in return, but I would say right now the Baltimore Orioles probably had the best chance they've had in nearly the last 5 to 10 years, and at least the last 5. Let's not go too far out without looking at any data, but at least the last 5 years, an opportunity to really make a postseason push, and trading away Trey Mancini before the deadline to the Houston Astros may have just caused them that opportunity this year. Because right now, you're looking at the Baltimore Orioles having one of the best offenses, in my opinion, one of the most underrated and slept on offenses in all of baseball. I've been a huge fan, especially since I play fantasy baseball. I've been a huge fan of the Baltimore Orioles. And obviously, I think everyone's coming around on the Toronto Blue Jays. I personally wish that Marcus Semien was still with the Blue Jays rather than heading out to Texas, I believe, is where he's residing in now. Still doing really, really well. Great player. But I think he just fit with it, and that completely made them a powerhouse over there. But of course, they have Vlad, they have Biggio, they have Bichette. It's like we're It's like we're in the 1990s again, right? Vladimir Guerrero, Bichette, Biggio. What names are these that we're hearing all of a sudden again? But I think the Blue Jays probably have the strongest chance on office alone. They have Kevin Gausman, which I love, but has not been performing up to speed. And then, of course, the Seattle Mariners are the most well-rounded team with the likes of Julio Rodriguez, who's been amazing once he comes back off of the DL. Luckily, he was only put on the 10-day DL. So once he comes back, that offense will be back in gear. They just got back Haniger, who's amazing. Ty France, a difference maker. Adam Frazier, as I've been saying for years, is being Adam Frazier in Seattle. So I think that if anybody had the best opportunity to not just sneak into the wild card, but also have an opportunity to make a deeper run and actually challenge these other dynasties for their money, not really dynasties, the other namesake brands in the playoffs, such as the Yankees or the Astros, I want to say it would be Seattle. That would who I would put my money on of those three, making it into the wild card and maybe actually being able to do some damage. But speaking of damage, man, before we're coming up on a break, but my fantasy baseball team this year, I want to say I started about the first week or two after the CBA, and maybe it's the CBA stuff that got me going. Maybe it's the stuff that was sort of going on around me at the time, which didn't really let me focus on it. But man, this last week, I picked back up my fantasy baseball leagues. Last place in one, which I'm expecting, and somehow I was 7th place out of 12, or 8th place out of 12 teams in my other league. But that's a team that has Max Scherzer and Shane Bieber. So if that tells you anything, baseball fans, anything sports fans, it's that when they say starting pitching can carry you, they absolutely mean starting pitching. It starts with starting pitching. Max Scherzer and Shane Bieber have kept me in 8th place out of 12 teams without setting my lineup once. I had guys who'd been a commission to the minors. I had guys who were on the 60-day DL as formalities because their season is done. That's how crazy my teams were. But Max Scherzer and Shane Bieber, word to the wise, make sure you get yourself a couple aces in next year's draft. Of course, won't help you on the long haul. We'll go more of that, but we're going to take a quick break here on the Real Game Anders Show from the DART studios in the Sonoran Desert. This is Dart Daily, RGA Dart Daily. This is Real Game Anders Show. You're listening to us here. We'll be talking football when we come back. All right, welcome back to the Real Gabe Anders Show. We got baseball talk done and out of the way. Now we're going to talk some nitty-gritty gridiron football. We're going to talk football. We're going to talk fantasy football. We're going to talk Jimmy G. Wait, don't hang up. We're also going to talk Josh Jacobs. We're going to talk the Dolphins. We're going to talk the Bills. And we're going to talk some other stuff because preseason has arrived, friends. Preseason is here. The football season is upon us. The Jacksonville Jaguars lost again, as always, to the Oakland Raiders, formerly known as the Los Angeles Raiders and currently known as the Las Vegas Raiders. In 20 years, who knows? Perhaps they'll be the Saskatchewan Raiders. Who really knows where the fate of the Raiders lies? But speaking of fates, we're going to touch on my fate. Individually, me, Gabriel Anders, at Real Gabe Anders on Twitter, at RGA Show on Instagram. If you're curious, Mrs. Jackson, if you're nasty. Is that the right line? I don't know if that's the right line. Is that correct? I don't know. It feels right. It feels right if you're nasty. But nonetheless, I digress. We're going to talk about my fantasy football team. So I was lucky enough to pick up Justin Herbert, which is fantastic. I'm also picking up let me just run down the line of who I have. So I have From Denver, I have Jerry Jeudy, which I'm very excited about, with Russell Wilson thrown to him, who I also have on my bench, by the way. Russell Wilson, not a bad backup. I was able to pick up Travis Kelce, Juju Smith-Schuster of the you see a theme here, Melvin Gordon, very AFC West-oriented, Brandon Ayuk, Elijah Mitchell, very West in general. I'm very excited to say I got Drake London, who I'm very high on with the Atlanta Falcons. That's another, we'll see if we hit on that maybe Friday, but the future of the Atlanta Falcons is very bright. I love Marcus Mariota, not sure if that's with or without him, but I was also able to pick up Isaiah McKenzie, as well as Nyheim Hines, Justin Tucker, who just got a contract extension. Congratulations, the Chargers and Cardinals defense, as well as Kyle Rudolph, because he supposedly may be taking on the Gronk role. Time will tell, we'll see, but that's my fantasy football team, the Real Gabe at Real Gabe Anders Shellbacks, if you're curious. But the biggest pickups that I'm excited about are Elijah Mitchell and Brandon Ayuk, and here's why. I think that a post-Jimmy G San Francisco 49ers team, and it's taken me a few months. So let's see. So let's look at the timeline here. So in January, they announce that he's going to be gone. Then Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch say, no, he's our guy. I don't know what Jimmy's saying. He's our guy. We're sticking with him. And in that same press conference, Jimmy G says, hey, guys, thanks for everything. It's been fantastic. The flower was in my hair. I love San Francisco. I'll always remember the Golden Gates. I want to go somewhere that I want to win. Fast forward to August. The surgery is completed. He's healthily, nice and clear, and he has the okay to seek a trade. And in that same week, we hear from that same John Lynch and that same Kyle Shanahan that we are going with Trey Lance. Jimmy G, the Jimmy G era is officially over, and Trey Lance's era has begun. Now, in training camp, what I like is that Trey Lance is very keen on Brandon Ayuk. That's why I picked him up in my fantasy league. Elijah Mitchell taking over for the injured, and now in Miami, Rashid Mostert, a phenomenon that was able to assist them very heavily in their Super Bowl appearance against Kansas City so many years ago, is now in Miami. Elijah Mitchell, once Mostert went down last year in 2021, was certainly able to pick up the buck and run with it. Pick up the ball and run with it, if you will. Pun intended, running back. Da-da-da-da, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. But the biggest thing with Trey Lance, we'll see. I think the fear of him being so young is there, but at the same time, right, S or get off the pot. So I think the 49ers this year will be S or get off the pot, and as much as I've been a Jimmy G defender in the past years, you know, Kyle Shanahan is an offensive genius, and I give him credit for that, and he has an offense built. Look at the weapons. Look at the weapons. Again, right, you get in trouble, you give it to you give it to Mitchell. What also do you have? Trey Lance and Brandon Ayuk have been forming a friendship and been amazing in training camp. You also have Kittle there. By the way, you still have Kittle. You re-signed Debo Samuel, and you have what's forecasted to be an even better secondary than you had previously. And you also have Fred Warner, you have Bosa, you have such a monstrous defense on the other side of the ball to forgive little mistakes that results in punts or turnovers. This is amazing. This is an amazing team. The 49ers have Super Bowl capabilities. It will just rest in how good or bad Trey Lance is. Could he exceed the expectations and what Jimmy G was? Possibly. Will he be what's his name, who I keep forgetting his name, number four, who took over when Jimmy G was injured in 2020? Oh, for sure. I watched him play in Oakland or in that Hall of Fame game. And even in the preseason against second and third stringers, he's still, I won't name his name just to not be mean. Also, because I can't really recall it right now, but he's number four on the Raiders. He is their third string quarterback and for a reason. Nonetheless, so if he can do that, Trey Lance in business. I'm liking the Trey Lance era already in San Francisco. Hey guys, Gabriel Landers here just to let you know that if you really want to help out the show and hear an extended version, make sure you're following us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and tell any of your friends who might dig what we're doing to do the same, because everybody we can get on board definitely helps, and we'll be able to get extended versions, extra versions, all sorts of extra episodes and more. But if you just go ahead and spread the word, we really need your help in doing so. And by the way, if you're in Glendale, Arizona, or in the Phoenix area in Arizona, go ahead and check out the Arizona Wrestling Federation. Summer Explosion is happening this Saturday, August the 13th at the Horny Toad in Glendale, Arizona. Tons of great matches, 9th anniversary, it's a great thing we're doing. Come having a great time with us. And of course, if you want to hear your brand advertised here, email us, realrgashow@gmail.com. Now, back to Dart Daily. Josh Jacobs, Raiders not extending him and making a statement that they will not trade for him. Where is this guy going to end up in 2023? This guy is looking to show off his skills. And by doing so, he took, what was it, two or three series in the Hall of Fame game? As a starter, who does this? He's obviously trying to get name recognition, which good for him. He deserves it. He's a smash mouth back who deserves good money. I don't think he ends up in Las Vegas in 2023. I texted Richie Vegas, which, by the way, Richie's not here. Whenever we can do a no huddle, we're going to be able to get him on. It's just schedules have been syncing up. Richie's a big, Richie is a busy man. So once we get him on, I'll be able to, and we'll get his opinion on a lot of this stuff. But I was telling him, I don't think Josh Jacobs ends up in Las Vegas come the 2023 season once he hits free agency. So another man who most likely will, because he was franchise tagged, stay with the organization that he's currently with, is the tight end in Miami, Gesicki. However, hold the phone, because with this franchise tag, he's also in Miami for one more year. And he's side by side with Tyreek Hill, Raheem Mostert. Oh boy, what is it, Wallace, what the rookie that was drafted last year that I had the fortunate of hearing one of our DJs last year when I was doing the Red Gold Talk Radio. Speak with Richmond Webb, who he's very high on, and he was able to pick. No, not Mike Wallace. What am I thinking? That is nothing new. Hold on one second. So now this is bothering me. I'm just pulling this up. Jalen Waddle. So they have Jamin Waddle. They have Tyreek Hill. They have Mohamed Sanu. You have Ryan Gesicki. You also have a slew of others. And at the same token, you have Raheem Mostert in the backfield. I've been on record as never being the biggest Tyreek Hill fan. I've also been on record, if you check the website, writing an article that says the Dolphins will absolutely make, giving reasons why, the playoffs in 2022. Will they win the division? Of course not. Buffalo's there. Nothing stopping Buffalo and Josh Allen from winning the division. So they might get stopped at the playoffs, but nothing stopping them. The Miami Dolphins right now, unless Tua were to intentionally have been paid by another organization to maybe the Jets, maybe the Bills, maybe the Patriots, somebody else within the division who has it out for the Dolphins, unless he absolutely, the knock on wood, this doesn't happen, mangles his arm in some unrelated bar incident. If he happens, I don't even know if Tua goes to bars. But if that's the case, all Tua has to do is show up and put the ball in play, and they will be in the playoffs. Will they win? I don't know. The other thing I wanted to touch on, because we're almost out of time here on the Gabe Anders Show, is this really Buffalo's year? It could be. Josh Allen has the buy-in from the city, which is fantastic. Josh Allen is a beast. I love him. He's a monster. They have Isaiah McKenzie. They have so many tools, so many weapons. They're like an amplified version of what they were last year, which was what an amplified version of what they were the year before. I don't think it's their year. But nonetheless, we're getting queued up. We're getting wrapped up. And I only have about 30 seconds left. So I just wanted to say thank you for listening to The Real Gabe Anders Show. Visit us on our social medias at Real Gabe Anders on Twitter, at REGA Show on Instagram. And tell everyone you can to follow us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, and Google Podcasts. And of course, if you're in the Glendale, Phoenix area in Arizona, visit the come see us in the AWF Summer Explosion the 13th this Saturday at the Horty Toad. Until tomorrow, Real Gabe Anders Show, I bid you adieu and good night.